Well, New York Fashion Week ends with Midwest house coats and Crocs sweeping the runways. Well, you're bemused at least. What do you know?
Live from Ames, Iowa to Pensacola, Florida, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, rocker Freddie Johnston, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who don't want no fingerprint read, it's Michael Feldman.
Is that how they speak in Canada? I don't get it. Thank you very much. Voyager 1 spacecraft leaves solar system, does not look back. 36 years of separation anxiety is enough, I think. It will be carrying, of course, a copy of the Bee Gees' Saturday Night Fever to the Andromeda Galaxy, so we'll see how that plays there. Pardon me. The New Jersey shore officials are thinking about a concrete walk this time. Or how about this? Free tickets on United, but it's still United, you know. New iPhone 5s will need a butt print reader to make butt calls. If you think about it. The Android phones already have responded to the iPhone fingerprint reader with a cheek swapper. Android! With the U.S. slipping to 17th in happiness behind Mexico, foot traffic over the Rio Grande reverses. And Duffer, President Obama, takes a mulligan on his Syria speech. It's a do-over. Proving the road to Damascus is easy to fall off or on your ass, Christy. Vladimir Putin gets his own comic strip in the New York Times funny pages, right below Snuffy Smith. President Obama cancels the congressional picnic, but the three-legged race is still on. Returning from North Korea, Dennis Rodman lets slip that Kim Jong-un's daughter is named We Too Low. Let's see, ratings show the president's speech, So You Think You Can Govern, losing to So You Think You Can Dance. I don't know what the bell was. Sound effects, always good in these situations. Relatives say the 107-year-old shot by police in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, had 106 very good years. Diana Nyad may have been the oldest swimmer ever towed from Cuba to Florida. Humor. You don't react that way to humor, or then it's not humor. Should not tell you that. A starving artist's couch painting turns out to be a Van Gogh. Very nice. Okay, I'll take that out then. If you feel that way about it, starving artist. At the mall, you know, starving artist. One of them was bound to be a Van Gogh eventually. The Syrian Electronic Army changed the president's speech as he was making it. That's what happened there. They hacked the teleprompter. Are we having a seance or what is going on? Can we conjure Shecky Green, maybe we can bring Shecky Green back. Oh, let's see, testicle size is now a fit topic for casual conversation. So talk among yourselves if you care to. Miss Kansas, did you see this? Miss Kansas? Okay, never mind. Miss Kansas sports the first tattoo in the Miss America pageant, but will probably regret it by the time she's Mrs. Kansas. Or Granny Kansas, for sure. Putin may win the Peace Prize just so he won't cop it from somebody else. You know him. Grabby, grabby. The scooter store is shut down just as I may qualify for a Medicare discount. So close. Montana's Lieutenant Governor John Walsh mistakenly likes a Facebook cleavage page, thinking it to be the Grand Tetons. That can happen, really. Okay. We're almost through this. You're really putting up, I appreciate your putting up with it. First Lady Michelle Obama fruitlessly looks for water in Watertown, Wisconsin, which was actually named after Ethel Waters. It has nothing to do with water. So, the nearest water is actually in Lake Mills, so it doesn't read as good. Reading that men need estrogen, I took some, and my belly went straight to my thighs. That's all the news that is. Thank you so much. Went straight to my thighs. That's all the news that is. Thank you so much. That was fun. We got to do that again sometime. Gosh. Holy cow. Did you ever have a solo rejected by an audience? Like,
oh, yeah,
like any note of your solo? Hey, well, they might like one or two notes, but not all of them.
Yeah, you wonder if they're even listening to you.
You don't even know sometimes.
At least they're listening.
It's worse when they listen to you.
At least they listen.
No, it's worse when they listen.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't listen, and they'd probably laugh because something could be happening next to them. I'm very excited here to have Freddie Johnston with us, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, live on our stage. And if you're nearby, you can get down here to Monona Terrace and see Freddie Johnston live. This is what he looks like live, ladies and gentlemen, Freddie Johnston. And you're not actually... You're not actually from Madison. It just seems that way because you're here a lot.
I hear a lot, Michael.
You hear a lot.
I'm excited to be here, too, and see the orange booth and see where it's done.
Yeah, this is it. And
it's exciting.
Okay. When you're not here, where are you then?
I'm either here or New York City, you know?
Yeah.
And everywhere in between.
Yeah. Do you ever get tired of being described as the songwriter's songwriter or the...
Well... Who would get tired of that? No, I don't get it called that often. Thanks
you
for
do.
That.
You do. Every time I hear it. Oh, yeah, Freddie, the songwriter.
That and 50 Cent, you know, gets me
What do
nothing.
They mean when they say that, do you think?
I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really not.
You must write songs for other songwriters.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
When they need a song.
Yeah. You're from Kansas, though, is that true?
I'm originally from Kansas, and so... I'm partially responsible for Miss Kansas's tattoo. I'm sure.
Well, it does say Freddie. I was going to ask you about that.
Slightly misspelled.
Big heart and a big knife.
Big broken heart.
Yeah, there's a knife through it.
A knife.
Probably a song in that somewhere.
I'm going to be working on that as soon as I get home.
Yeah.
Which is just a few blocks away.
Is it true in the little town you grew up in Kansas they didn't have a music store and you couldn't?
It's true. Yeah, I know. I drove to Dodge City to buy my first guitar.
You did?
Well, to buy my first record, sorry.
Yeah, first record.
I ordered my guitar through the mail.
Yeah. What was your first record?
My first record that I really bought was Elvis Costello, My Aim Is True.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's the one, you know, every other record I was given.
That's why you're so stylistically like Elvis Costello.
Oh, well, I learned a lot from him. He's a great artist.
Mine was the Dovells, the Bristol Stomp.
Ah.
It's had no effect on my life ever since.
You know, I'm just about to break into that song.
Kids sharp as a thistle when they do the Bristol Stomp.
Fantastic.
I don't know why I like that.
You don't need a musical guest at all.
That was so. I thought that was so cool and hip, and I wanted to be a Dovell from that.
Was that the effect that Elvis Costello had on you? What's that?
Was that the effect that Elvis Costello had?
It did.
On
no, it, I absolutely wanted to. You know, that's what music does to a young mind.
Yeah.
You want to reinvent your world and write songs about it and all that.
Yeah.
And here I am on stage with you. I'm a pretty lucky guy, I think. You know.
You know what's great about your songs is you're such a great observer. So you know your songs are actually about life. No. You know, and what you observe and what you sense.
Yeah, I write songs with visual images in them.
Very visual.
So, yes, that's just how I always learned, you know.
Yeah. Do you paint as well or draw? Or
that's very funny. That's my other. That's the only other hobby. That's the one thing I'm embarrassed about talking about. I can talk about music all day, but I draw on the side. And
you draw, really?
In the same way
is
that
it hard
you know,
to draw on your
like
side?
Like artists, you know, it's hard to draw on my side. On my head is most difficult. But that's the little thing that nobody sees, you know, really.
I have here Bad Reputation from the first The Perfect World.
Right. Indeed. Yeah, photo on the back taken here in Madison. Over.
You can tell by the cyclone.
You can tell by the chain link fence, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I love Madison a lot. But that was. And that's my grandparents on the cover.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
from the Taj Mahal.
I know. It's
cool.
Taj Mahal, a monument that a sultan built to his wife. And here's my grandparents sitting in front of it, about as far apart on that bench as they can get. So that says a lot about love. They went around the world in 1965 with a group of other Kansans. And by the time they got to India, they were...
Not
ready
talking.
To get home. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah. That's very cool.
I take after my grandfather a lot, I've heard.
Yeah.
So that's not really a compliment.
This first song, what's it going to be?
Well, I'll I don't know. You know, I was going to play a song from... I have a new record.
Great.
I'm crowdfunding, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That these days.
Yeah.
And I can play you a new song, Michael, if you'd like to hear it. It's called By the Broke Streetlight.
Sounds great.
It's just a song.
It's like the dark end of the street. That's how it got to be the dark end of the street.
Because the street light broke.
Yeah, the damn light's been out for years now. You know?
Now that's, thank you, Michael, for tying it all together. That's how it got to be the dark end of the street. That might be the title of dot, dot, dot. That's how it got to be the, anyway.
Gets a little long at a certain point.
Yeah, it is. It's not a subtitle.
So now you're going to crowdfund this. That's the latest thing now, crowdfunding and crowdsourcing. What is it? That's where they can actually pay for everything you do, right?
Well, kind of. You know, the record company system is kind of it's a patronage system anyway, you know, where they give you money and don't expect to get it back generally, though they don't tell you that. But they, the patronage system, you know, the fans give you their $20 and they expect to get it back somehow, I guess, in joy, you know, or in songs.
Right.
And that's, it's just... Yeah. You know, the internet made it possible.
So how can someone do that if they?
Right. Well, I'll advertise.
Go ahead.
I'm on. There's a site called PledgeMusic.com.
Yeah.
My thing hasn't even started actually.
Oh.
But it's a site that's all about music, and I'll start it next month. And
yeah.
When I get the money, then they'll put the record out. You know, it's just how you do it.
Yeah,
you know, I've been spending all my money on it the last 2 years, and now it's done. But I have to get it out.
Very cool. Very cool. Is there a name for this album?
My new record is called Neon Repairman.
Repairman.
Yeah, it's a song. It's a song on the record.
Yeah.
Good time. I wrote it consciously emulating Wichita Lineman. it's a long story, but I was trying to finish the song, and so I looked at Wichita Lineman, and there's a lot of similarities there between the two characters.
And it's
a nighttime Wichita Lineman, yes.
Yeah. Are you going to do that now? It's really totally up to you. It seems like we should do it.
It's a song that I don't know what to say about the Neon Repairman. He's a guy who works at night on neon lights because he doesn't want to work.
You have to. That's when they're on.
Well, I don't want to be burst the listener's bubble, but apparently most of these neon repairman guys work during the day. I've been told this now several times. You darn fool, we don't have that kind of insurance. But I just maintain that this character in this song is just that one wacky uninsured repairman guy, you know? It's just like, gotta see the night sky behind my... Yeah. Driving this town almost every night. Climbing way up where the neon's found. And I hear you there in that neon sound. It's all I've ever done, man. Darkness is my friend. I am a neon repairman. The horseshoe bar, yes, I know it well. The coffee cup diner and the Palm Motel. I see you everywhere in the neon glow. And I need you more than want you, as the story goes. Again, I am a neon
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public
Radio. Brady Johnson!
NPRI Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
What? What? What do I do now? Oh, I got to read you. I didn't have a chance to read the cards.
Uh-oh.
I go in the audience usually at this point, you know, but I haven't read your cards. You guys just take them on face value?
Seems
just
like you may have to wing
value.
It.
All right, I'll take on face value.
Plunge out there.
Face value.
Plunge.
Here I come, on face value. I'm trusting. I'm going to just fall forward. I want you to catch me. Don't
terrifying.
Think it's going to happen. I think you would probably make an effort. Because I can, right?
I suppose so.
Have you ever done one of those trust things where you fall forward and a crowd catches you?
No, I wouldn't do it.
See, maybe then that's why you need it.
No, I don't need it. I don't.
How is your trust? You don't trust?
No.
No trust it? A little bit once in a while?
Oh, I guess occasionally. I have to know you, though. I trust you.
I would catch you. Let's do it. And you, what's your name?
Annette.
You from Kansas?
No, I'm from Medina, Ohio.
Oh, Medina. Oh, that's right. You're from Cleveland.
Right.
Where did I get Kansas? It was Freedy was from Kansas.
Where are those mail carriers that listen to you all day?
Mail carriers. Thank God for mail carriers. Letter carriers.
Your whole audience here, probably.
Pretty much all we get. Well, we get some groundwater people for some reason. I don't know. We get letter carriers and groundwater people. That's about what we're down to now. But I don't know. So, are you rural route or?
No, I'm a city. I drive truck though. I don't walk. Yeah, I used to walk, but now I don't.
So you get tenure after a while. They give you a truck.
Yeah, the more time you. Yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
Are you as well?
Yes. I walk, though. I have to walk. Yeah. So I work.
So you haven't been there that long?
Well, yeah, about the same. I just prefer walking. Yeah. I work harder than she does. So.
That's. Your name is?
Rick Hopkins.
Rick and Annette.
Rick and Annette, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, our letter carriers, our mail carriers. Okay. Now we got Michaela Tennis. From Madison, she's a student and a barista.
Like hello. The
game. Hello.
Pardon me, I'm just going to slip through here. And Michaela, can I get you to stand up a little bit here? You've probably seen her. Here's your barista, ladies and gentlemen. Trying to relax. So a barista, you got to know like all the Italian names for everything?
You know, I try. I'm not a Starbucks barista, though, so yeah.
Can you throw a few abbreviations at me, like typically in an order? Because I'm afraid to go in one of those coffee places because I don't know what to ask for.
Well, when you get like a double espresso, you can say a doppio. And then I think you're really smart then. And I'm like, oh, okay, we can speak the same language. All right. Or like a cappuccino, you can just say a cap. You can just abbreviate anything. Except you sometimes get people that they order a latte, but they call it a latte. A laddie. Aladdin.
Do you just laugh them off and refuse to serve them?
You know, I really want to laugh. I'm laughing inside. but then I smile and nod, and I don't correct them, but I probably should.
Give me, like, a real complicated order with people who have certain kind of milk and froth or whatever. What's, like, the most complicated order that someone would come up and ask for?
Well, we kind of, we call it the sorority special. If someone orders it, We don't call it to their faces, of course, but if they get it, they come in, they order a sugar-free vanilla skim latte or something like that. Anything sugar-free and skim.
One sorority, you know.
Yeah. Maybe when they walk away, well, that's when I will.
And what are you studying in school?
I'm international studies, French, and environmental studies.
Which way are you going to go? That's a lot of...
I'm definitely leaning towards the environmental end of things, so...
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Your barista and the future international studies we're thinking about are environmental. Environmental, they can all converge at a certain point, so that's a great thing. Now, Mary Keepers, she's a keeper. Okay, she's probably heard that once or twice. And she is a theater artist. Do you deny it now? You wrote it here, and you said, I don't know what a theater artist is. I know what a theater is. And I know you want to come down this way because you can step on them. They'll like it. I do it. They're not so certain. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Theater artist.
I work in the theater, which means I'm pretty much unemployed. I direct and perform and teach, and you have to be really versatile to be a theater artist.
You act as well?
Yes.
Yes. And you also direct?
Yes. I direct.
Is that hard? You got to run back and forth to do that, or?
Oh, at the same time, I try to stay away from directing myself.
Jerry Lewis does that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. I direct other people on stage, but I still run back and forth a lot. But I try to stay away from being in something that I'm also directing.
Have you ever directed yourself? Had to direct yourself?
I do my own kind of cabaret show, so I direct myself in that.
Say, okay, Mary, let's try that from the top now. I want you to enter from this side. Yep. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. To sit on the stool or stand. Yes.
Are you mounting right now?
Mounting?
Is that a theater term? Mounting a
show.
Yeah, mounting a show.
Mounting a show.
What else could I possibly mean?
I don't know.
You got to learn the terms if you're going to do this, Mary.
We say putting up a show, too. You know, there's all kinds of
mounting.
Mounting. Yeah.
We have to put up with the mounting,
actually,
I think.
I'm doing a residency at a high school right now, and we create social issue programs to present to other kids.
Oh.
So, you know, they talk about their problems and stuff. And we are mounting that next week, actually.
Yeah, it's like a role-playing acting sort of thing, or?
No, the kids write their own material, and it's scenes and monologues about different things that they deal with in high school.
Oh, that's excellent.
It's fun.
Well, nice to meet you. Anything I can answer for you, or you have wrote no question on you? We usually try to get questions for Michael. A question for Michael. Didn't they say that to you?
They did. And
you don't have a question for
me. I couldn't.
You think of one now that you're seeing, Michael?
What does mounting mean?
Thanks, Mary. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
That's Mary Keepers. She's a keeper, huh? Okay. Let's see here. Now I'm going through this. How are your daughters doing? Good. Okay. That's all I want to say about it. Here's more from the tennis family here. Bernie Tennis. Where is Bernie? That figures. Okay. Yeah, you look like a caricature artist. I don't know why. Okay, he's a caricature artist. So what kind of work is that? I wonder, how do you get to be a caricature artist? I can see you asking him. Maybe I will. I'm just thinking to myself here as I'm going down. I could ask him about that, I guess. How are you?
I'm good.
How do you get to be a caricature artist, anyhow?
You look at a lot of people, and you see the funny things, and you draw them a lot.
Yeah. Which parts do you exaggerate?
Well,
if I did, I probably would exaggerate the wrong parts.
Well, I tend to exaggerate the mouth, which would be up your alley. Oh, yeah, and the eyes, actually.
What do you mean up my alley?
I have no idea. I just threw that.
Exaggerate my alley? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. But actually, I don't do too much of an exaggeration anymore. I used to do more of an exaggeration, but I discovered people tend to prefer it if you don't insult them.
Because they're going to pay for it. They see something with a big mouth on it, they're not going to...
Yeah, exactly.
They have to buy it, but they're going to toss it or sit on it or something.
I do want to get paid.
Do this on the street or at fairs or people's homes? Do you just knock on the door and say, you want a caricature?
Well, not often do that, but yes, on the street, at fairs, at conventions, at weddings. No funerals, so.
No. Oh, man. An open casket caricature would be something to die for, wouldn't it? Now, what is this here, Child of the 60s thing?
Well, I just thought, I just turned 60, so my brother said something about a Child of the 60s, just turned 60. Yeah. He said, want to do some antacid?
Yes, antacid. Nice to meet you, and all the tennises. Yeah, a big tennis family going on here. They're playing doubles at the tennis family. There's so many of them. Okay, never heard that one before, too, okay? You know me, get all the cliches. Implementation manager. Huh. Okay, I know what a manager is. And I think I know what implement. Is it the same family? Is it also tennis?
I'm sitting next.
You're sitting with the tennises. Okay, how do I get to you without stepping on the same people? I can't. I have to step on the same people. I'm really apologize. Sorry. How are you? Pretty good, then?
Fine.
I just see you in passing, so I thought I'd say hello.
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. Got a little cool out there. A little cooler than it was.
Well, it's going to get colder, though.
Oh, yeah. You betcha. See, I can make conversation with the best of them. I can say all sorts of things in passing. Oh, can I get you to stand up here? Nancy Harkey, ladies and gentlemen, from Appleton. From the Appleton Harkies. Are there a lot of Harkies?
There are a lot of Harkies.
How many would you estimate?
100.
100 just in Appleton?
Oh, no, 30?
30? So there's the, you're a Harkey? How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Which Harkey are you?
Claudia.
Harkey. Okay, and you're Nancy Harkey, and the Harkies, but they're based in Appleton?
Yes. Yes.
They've gotten as far as what? Green Bay?
Yes.
Spread out in their migration, the great Harkey migration of...
She's living in Madison, so we've now reached Madison.
Okay, reached Madison, yeah. So the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
The sky's the limit for the Harkies, I guess. Now, when you're an implementation manager, these are like job descriptions I've never heard of. What do you implement? Or?
Insurance.
Oh, God. Came all this way from... All right, but what do you do for kicks?
I come to Madison.
All right, insurance, and she comes to Madison. Oh, well, it's nice to meet you anyway. The dancer, right? Dancer, skate, or water ski? Or
yes.
Wrestle, anything?
No wrestling. But the others, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz because I can't keep walking sideways like this. It's killing me. Well, with the disc and everything, it really is murderous. And how are you doing, dear?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? In school?
Yeah.
How's that going?
That's going okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 What are you taking that's going best?
I would probably say either drawing or government.
Hey. Maybe you could draw a government. No, that wouldn't. Drawing or government? Is it think, you think you'll go either way into government or into drawing?
I think I like drawing more, but, yeah. You know, government's okay too.
Government's a little three-dimensional, I think. Not anymore, actually.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. You are?
I'm Angel.
Angel, ladies and gentlemen. She's in drawing or government. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. And here I am again. I'll be right out of your room here. I'm sorry about this entirely. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. We cannot play without knowing who has the four disclaimers. Come on down this way, would you? Save me the walk, because, you know, I put on a lot of miles on. Oh, wow, that was quick. You must be a runner, huh?
Sure. Right now.
Oh, you don't run or jog or anything, whatever they call it now?
No, I bicycle.
Oh, you're a bicycle. Like everyone does that now. Four disclaimers, you are?
Philip Fisher.
Yeah, take that and I'll get out of your way.
All right. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Astronomers find galaxies blow massive amounts of gas out their black holes. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let somebody else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Itching for a fight, yes. Thank you so much. Well done. Don't take that, please. That's the least I can do. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. Let's see a flicker. Let's see the flicker of an eyebrow, eyelash. Let's see anybody who blinks. You blinked. All right, come here. Come on, here. Saw a blink. What a great response. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you are?
Justin.
Justin, are you from around here, Justin? Or
living in Madison now, yes.
Yeah, where are you from originally?
Peoria, Illinois.
Peoria! Is Big Al still there?
Oh, yeah. Al's still there.
Oh, yeah, Big Al's still there, because we're going to Peoria later in the year, and I want to make sure we go there. Justin, right?
Yep.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Justin. Any reason. Just give any reason. Give a bad. I don't care.
Because of that flamingo right there.
Because of the flamingo. Right. He's the only one who blinked. Come on, oh, come on, come on. What can I do? Beggars can't be choosers. Yes, hey. Yeah, you're going up there, Justin. No, that's my chair. You sit in yours. You sit right there. Ambitious. So what field or endeavor are you in?
Starving artist.
You're a starving artist, really? Did you like the Van Gogh joke?
Well, not for another few months. I still have a little bit of bank left.
Oh, yeah.
Once that disappears, then I'm going hungry.
Yeah. Do you ever do those things? Who makes those paintings that, you know, they have a starving artist at the mall? Say, starving artist sale, you know. But they just, there's a warehouse somewhere, and they just crank them out, right?
Definitely. Hotel art?
Yeah. Couch art, I always call them.
I don't know who makes those.
What's your style?
Video? New media?
Oh, you're new. You're not a painter.
Yeah, no, I started out making furniture. And then now I make media art.
Is it easier to make media than furniture, or there's less glue smells, I suppose?
It's different, yeah. Yes, it's a little bit cleaner, and the less stuff to like carry around, less equipment.
Yeah. Was there a piece of furniture that drove you into media that just couldn't get the joint right or something?
Like no.
Dovetail something?
No, I'm not sure. I just didn't like lugging stuff around.
Yeah. Well, did you make like artistic furniture? I mean, furniture as art?
Yeah, it was studio. It was like studio furniture that would transform into sculpture when you're not using it.
Oh, man, you should do that. Yeah. That's cool.
I might go back to it. There's more money in that than stacking up TVs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, now you do like installations, like
installation
video
art.
Things with TVs stacked up, and is that going good?
Yeah, yeah. Can you do a cheap plug for that?
Sure.
There's going to be I'm in the triennial that's going to be up at the Momoka next week.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's every three.
What is a triennial at Momoka? That's like something you order from a barista.
Momoka,
sorority.
Modern Art Museum. Modern Art Museum.
Oh, the Modern Art Museum.
Yeah, and every 3 years they do a show where they
do an invite,
and you apply for it, and then if you're lucky enough to get in the triagennial, that's what we like to call it.
Triagennial?
Yeah. Because so many people apply for it, and so few get in. So, yeah, I got lucky enough this year to have my stuff accepted. So.
Oh, excellent. And when is it?
It is the opening's next Friday. I think you have tickets to get into that, but then it'll be open following that on
Fantastic.
Saturday.
And so we look for Justin.
Justin Bittner. Yeah.
Justin Bittner, ladies and gentlemen, at the Momoka Triennial Latte. Starting Friday here in Madison. That sounds great, actually. And are you happy with what you got in there? No, I'm sure you are.
Definitely.
Yeah. Can you entice us with what it might be?
Some video and some stacking of stuff. Yeah, go check it out. Go check it out. Yeah.
You artists are always enigmatic about your art.
You can always check out my website, justinbittner.com.
Oh, we couldn't do that. Two T's?
One T.
Bittner.
It's the American version.
Who's going to remember that? Okay, Justin, some of that plays along with you. That's how this works when it does. Thank you for volunteering.
You're welcome.
How does it work again?
If people want to play the quiz at home, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WA-NOW or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And WHACK-NOW. WHACK, yep. Good. And answer this qualifying question.
Oh, gosh.
Of your choice.
Maybe my boss will call in.
Huh?
Maybe my boss will call in. I'm skipping work to be here.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Where are you working at?
I'm out in Paoli. at a furniture maker's place, Richard Judd.
And is he still waiting for you to show up?
He will be in about an hour because we thought it started at 9. So.
Uh-oh.
So can you give me an excuse to be there an hour?
Yeah, I'll write you something. Let's see. Here it is. Almost everybody who says they've read this book hasn't. What is the number one book that people say they've read that they haven't? That's what we're looking for here, okay? Okay? Is that clear? Right. That's pretty clear, okay. And a number they call then once if they know what book they...
is 1-800-942-5669.
Yeah. They say you've read it. Everyone says they've read this book. Almost nobody has. Okay. Go to the phones right now. Bill's on the line from Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Pretty good. How's yourself?
I'm loving life, man. Sitting here in the mountains, enjoying the sunshine.
Are you?
Wonderful.
Are you got a fishing pole set up on a rock or something? Or?
No, actually, I got brake lines for my pickup truck. I'm getting ready to get dirty.
You're sitting there with your brake linings in the beautiful nature.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, have you done brake linings before? Because that can be a bee.
Yes, sir, I have, unfortunately. Yeah. I work for a living, and I got to do these things myself.
Okay, so what do you got there? What are you driving?
I'm driving it's a Dodge Ram 1500. Oh. It's a 99, and I'm just now replacing the brake liner.
Wow, I didn't even know they had brakes on those.
Guys, well, actually, it's got a hole in the floorboard for a while, but I don't
Well, at least you can fix it from inside the car. That's the beauty of it. From inside the truck. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Yes,
Bill,
sir.
Almost everybody says they've read this book, but almost nobody has. The most widely unread book that people say they have read.
Wow. I can think of a lot of them, but I'm going to take one big guess.
Yeah.
And say of Mice and Men.
That's it, Of Mice and Men. Yes, that's not it, but I don't care. I like it. Yes, Of Mice and Men. This keeps him from getting his hands dirty for just a few minutes. That's right, 1984 is usually the answer I had here, but who knows when we'll get to that. What the hell, man? I mean, pardon me, I didn't say that. What the heck? What the hay?
What the heck?
What the hay? What the Harper's Ferry, I always say. So things are pretty good. Another one, you got to work yet today, or when you get these breaks done, or what?
Actually, I'm just going to chill out and enjoy life.
So, how long does it take you for a brake job?
I'd say, by the looks of things, about 2 hours. By the
Now, when guys say, by the looks of things, what does that exactly mean? By the looks of what things?
Well, I'm looking at the connections being all rusty, and I did spray them down with some penetrating oil prior to this project, but... It's going to take at least 2 hours.
Yeah. So would you recommend penetrating oil before you do anything then to people out there who are looking at their brakes right now and looking at things?
When it comes to older vehicles,
yes,
you'll save your knuckles. Yes, you will.
Save your knuckles. Okay. Thanks, Bill. Bill, this is Justin. He's your partner. He's an artist and a furniture maker.
Well, pleased to meet you, Justin.
Good to meet you.
Okay. Talkative guys. I love it. You guys are a team now, so you can talk to one another. Don't just lay back there, Justin.
All right.
Think about your next art project.
You ready to do this, Bill?
I'm ready, man.
Okay. We have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
Yep. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Do you ever read Of Mice and Men, by the way, Bill?
No, sir, but I did see the movie.
Yeah. It was a good movie, too, actually.
Yes,
I think that's
was.
True of me as well, actually. But I might have—I think I read Of Mice, but I didn't get to the men part. Bill, you pick the first category. What would you like?
I'm going to go with people's places, things, whatever.
Well, those are three different categories, Bill. We have people, places.
We'll go with places. Then.
Places could be anywhere, yes. The highest percentage of naked sleepers in the EU, in the European Union. Is it Germany, France, or the U.K.?
What do you feel about that, Justin? I'm leaning towards France.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Everyone else is kind of pale.
Yeah. You think the French sleep naked?
Yeah. I think.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure they do.
How can you be sure, Bill? This is a whole different tack.
Well, I was in the Navy one time.
That's right. The French. You're right. The French sleep totally. They're naked, even as we speak. Right. Unbelievable. The Brits, of course, go to bed fully clothed. I think that's
turtlenecks.
Well, yes. Yeah. And what's left there?
That's one right and zero wrong. And the categories left are current events, people, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
You say turtlenecks like you've known something about.
Yeah,
British
I'm actually convinced that the sleeping. Brits believe that they don't have bodies from the neck down.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah.
And they have that stiff upper lip. So
That's right.
I don't know if that's connected or not. So, Justin, what category would you like?
Let's go with things you should have learned in school.
Okay.
I always like that one.
Okay, if you are described as hippocampine, by someone, some smart guy in your class, are you being compared to one of the following, a hippo, Hippocrates, or a seahorse?
I would have to say Hippocrates.
Would you have to be wrong, or what? Okay, well, let's talk. Bill, get on this. Hippocampine, does that refer to a hippo, Hippocrates, or a seahorse?
Well, it's the brain it's referring to, right? That's what I guess I'm asking you now. I suppose.
What do I know from this? I just read what's written on these little index cards.
It's not a seahorse.
No, real knowledge.
What? I don't think it's a seahorse.
She does. I don't know.
Maybe
see
it
her
is.
Now
oh,
you
see,
a, there we go. I don't know. Bill, what, you want to weigh in on this?
I'd have to go along with what he's saying. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
What did he say?
He said that that it wasn't the seahorse and it wasn't the hippo. It was the other one.
Are you working on your brakes right now, Bill?
Actually, no. I'm getting ready, though.
Okay. All right. Well, just relax for a minute here. Take a breath or two.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to sit down in this lounge chair here.
Oh, yeah. Got to have a lounge chair if you're doing brakes.
Yeah.
For taking breaks, I guess, while you're in breaks. So you're saying it's a seahorse?
No.
No? Okay.
Are you sure about that?
No. No, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, we need an answer from you here. Hippo,
quiet.
Hippocrates, seahorse?
Hippocrates.
Hippocrates?
Or should I go with seahorse? I'm yeah. saying seahorse. No. I'm going to go with that lady out there. Her head's going to fly off.
Bill, you want to decide here? He can't see my
son. Seahorse.
Seahorse is right. Refers to the hippocampine. Refers to a seahorse. So use it in your everyday speech.
Some crowdsourcing.
That's two right and zero wrong.
I know. This is so unfair.
In their
favor, though. That's good.
Mm-hmm. It's no meritocracy. The categories remaining are current events, people, science, or odds and ends.
Bill?
I'm going to go with people.
People it is. Okay, people. What do you do for a way of life or a way of relaxation, Bill?
A way of relaxation?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I fish.
What are you fishing?
I golf.
You do?
And I watch my daughter ride her horses. That's pretty relaxing.
Oh, that's good. Are you not a horseman yourself?
Well, I'd like to be, but I had some injuries in the past that don't allow me to set a horse too well. So.
Oh, yeah. In the Navy?
Well,
something in the Navy?
I was after the Navy. I didn't get hurt while I was in the Navy. It's not a whole lot of ways of getting hurt from what I was doing.
Oh, okay. All right. Here's the question. This is a people question now. So we've got cursing and laying on the horn, and we have male drivers and we have female drivers. I want you to associate one with each of those, with the cursing and laying on the horn. Like, who does it? Male driver, female driver, cursing. Who's more likely to curse and who's likely to lay on the horn? Male drivers and female drivers. Take it, gentlemen.
I'd say the female drivers are more apt to lay on the horn. The male drivers are more apt to curse.
Jason, Justin, you want to come in on this?
Boop! That was me cursing.
You cursing?
Yeah, I'm a cursor.
So you're saying you're a female driver?
No. No.
Are you kidding on me?
No. Give me a break. All right. Give me a break, John.
No, I'd say what he said. To use his
So you're saying female drivers lay on the horn?
Male drivers. No, male drivers, would cuss. Female drivers lay on the horn.
Okay, that's what you say too, Bill?
I'm going to recant that. I'm thinking that, you know, come to think of it, I don't do either one. I don't boil the one or curse.
Yeah.
I'd have to say that probably women are more apt to curse you, I think, and men like to lay on the horn because it gets your attention.
Okay. You want to rethink this, Justin, or you?
It's a flip flop. I'll let Bill take it.
That's right. Female drivers curse more. Right. Male drivers lay on the horn. Holy cow! The quiz for that tonight. Also, here. Women flip off more than men do. 31 to 27%, and women also hit the brakes when being tailed more. You know, you tap on the brakes.
Oh yeah, that'll fix you.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. They've won. They could stop, couldn't they?
They could. What? Yep, they could stop and go home with some decent prizes, or they could risk it all and go home with the mother load.
Well, how would they do that, though?
They have to answer one more question right. But if they get it wrong, then...
They lose.
Bupkis.
Bupkis?
Bupkis.
Is that Yiddish? I don't know how you spoke. Bupkis is good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bupkis. No, it's bad?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bupkis is bad.
Bupkis is bad. Well, Bill, you don't want Bupkis, I suppose, but Justin, what do you think? Want to go for it? Bill's all or nothing?
Bill's making good decisions. I'll let him make the decision.
Okay, all or nothing. Let's just give them a little encouragement. Avoid the Bupkis.
No Bupkis.
Right. What's left there?
Current events, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, and I don't know whose turn it is, but one of you guys can pick.
Good, Justin.
Odds and ends?
Odds and ends could be anything. Yes, it is. Hipsterism, the whole fad of being a hipster, has caused a 10%, 20%, or 30% drop in razor blade sales.
Wow.
You know, that's the hipsters? Deep. They have hipsters out there in Harper's?
Yeah, guys, little beatnik dudes.
Yeah.
The hipsters.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what do you think, Justin?
I'm not sure.
Justin of the beard?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're going to, they try, if they're really hipsters, they got their little goatee looking thing going on, you know?
Yeah.
I know.
They're really happy.
I hate that. I really hate that.
There's a certain amount of shaving going on.
Oh, there is some shaving going on over there.
Hipsters are always happy to tell you what they're doing, too, so.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more.
And you know, they buy those razors that shave you not all the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have razors like that. They leave just fashionable stubble.
Like the number one? Using the number one on
Using the
razors.
Number one. Yeah. I didn't even know it was called that.
Yeah.
So hipsterism has caused a 10%, 20%, or 30% drop in razor blade sales. What do you say, gentlemen?
30%?
I don't know.
It's not a real big movement.
You want to go in the middle of the road, Justin, or how do you feel on this?
It's actually a smallish movement when you consider the national population.
We could split it in the middle, do 20%.
Yeah, but how, you know, there's razor blade sales are a national phenomenon, and then you have, you know, hipsters, a little fraction of people are hipsters.
Oh, that's probably 10%.
I'm feeling
10% here. I don't know what
you're feeling. The 10%?
Yeah.
He's feeling 10%.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling it.
10%?
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with that.
10% is yes. Congratulations.
Justin, you'll enjoy Wisconsin Autumn on September 29th, biking along the Capital City Bike Trail toward a delectable brunch at Veranda Restaurant and Wine Bar from Madison Magazine's Festival of Food. Then delve into the world of hallucinations, the latest book by legendary neurologist Oliver Sacks, author of Musicophilia and The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat from Vintage Books. Read about brilliant blunders from Darwin to Einstein, colossal mistakes by great scientists that changed our understanding of life and the universe by Mary Olivio from Simon & Schuster, and learn how to conquer mob mentality by happiness and all the other ways to outsmart yourself by reading David McCraney's You Are Now Less Dumb from Gotham Books. Bill, start every day like a member of the What Do You Know audience with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend and banish cares in the afternoon with rich and satisfying Costa Rican Tarasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right, and then proclaim yourself a North Dakota State University Bison fan with a t-shirt from North Dakota State. Mail news of your quiz victory on a 1930 Kissel sedan postcard from the Wisconsin Wisconsin Automotive Museum. Sing along with the Highland Hospital for Nervous Diseases on James Murphy's CD, Asheville. And take a trip through the Michael States of America in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Congratulations to you both.
All right. All right, Bill. Thanks. Hang on just a second. We've got a mailing address from you.
Thanks, Michael. I'm excited about that game, brother.
Yeah. And the break job, too, I'm sure. So we'll let you get to that. Thanks very much for playing.
Yes, sir.
Justin, great job.
Thank you.
Wonderful job. Remember his tricentennial coming up there at MoMA.
Attention Ole Miss Feldman fans, What Do You Know will kick off the 10th season at the beautiful Ford Center in Oxford, Mississippi. Come be part of the celebration. Guests include top chef John Currents, best-selling author Ace Atkins, and musician Shannon McNally. Get your tickets through the box office at 662-915-7411 or online at notmuch.com. And next week, join the What Do You Know fun here at the Terrace. Funny man Stephen Merchant will join the show. Ticket information available at notmuch.com. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we go wallet fishing. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man with no comment on testicle size, it's Michael Feldman.
Let's talk about something else. It's pretty silly. Actually, they get smaller from becoming a parent. That's really what happens. They shrink. So anyhow, then I think we'll do this then. Because, you know, each week, really, we do this. If you think about it, actual memos, that's right. Thanks for the memos. This is not really a memo, so just this is an extra here. This was actually in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, in the Cheers and Jeers section. You know that section of the paper, Cheers and Jeers? Yeah. Cheers to the Reverend Robert J. Klepko, pastor of Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Catholic Church in Lorraine, for this bit of subtlety in the June 3rd parish bulletin. Plans for parish swimming pool scrapped. After much study, our finance committee has determined it would not be feasible to construct an indoor swimming pool in our church. As a result, we can now announce with certainty that those who have been arriving for Mass as if dressed for the pool need not do so. Very cute, very cute. And this is the actual memo, though. And this is a very strange memo, so I'll just read it and you tell me what it means. As to staff, the word of the day is sewage. And here is the word of the day, sewage, what you get from pooping into your drinking water. Or rainwater, in our case, which is still unnecessary and merely enabling an inherently problematic combination of habit and technology. The Eco Office sewage ejector pump is malfunctioning. Please do not use the ground floor commodes in the EO until I give the all clear. Sinks are fine due to very low flow, and the composting toilet system is entirely independent of the sewage ejector problem. Because guess what? It does not generate sewage. I apologize for the unpleasant odors and have opened several atrium windows. The weather is suitable for opening more windows if you like. I expect to finish this up today or tomorrow, depending on the exact problem. At present, a temporary pump is draining the holding tank so I can inspect the main pump. RC toilet users may carry on pooping in the drinking water as they see fit. I had a great vacation building a shiny new humanure composting toilet at home. Look up humanure handbook if you like. Go Browns. Chris, facilities manager. Thank you so much for that, and I had no idea, but it's very disturbing. Workplace issues shouldn't be of this nature, I don't think. But did you understand any of that?
Not really.
No.
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 nice that he shared his vacation details, though.
Sounds like he takes his work home with him.
That's right.
Really. Oof. So where can they send these things?
They can send memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or if they go to notmuch.com, they can post it there.
Yeah.
They can also tweet them to you, 140 characters at a time,
okay,
if they so wish.
Yeah. How do they do that?
Your handle is myfeldman.
You mean at My Feldman?
Correct.
Don't you?
Yes.
My Feldman will get you nothing.
I think it's actually hipper not to mention the at anymore when we're talking about Twitter handles.
I know, but this is
it
public radio.
Saying.
They're just catching on to that.
Okay, so it's at My Feldman. That's how people find you on Twitter.
All right. Well, this is kind of a cool story because it was on Good Morning America and everything, and it's from our own state here, so I figured we had some rights to go over this story as well here because Joshua Woods is from La Crosse, Wisconsin. He's an ink artist. He's a tattoo guy in Lucker, and beautiful, by the way. He does a lot of really good work. Anyway, he was fishing there, I guess, in the Black River, something, La Crosse there, and caught a wallet. Not a walleye, a wallet, which actually had been stolen 3 years or so before by a guy who was DJing at a karaoke contest. Well, I'll let you tell. You can tell the story. Well, he's on here right now with us. Hey, Joshua, are you there?
Yeah, yes, sir.
How are you? How did that Good Morning America thing go? Pretty good?
Pretty good. I wasn't on Good Morning America, but they put something on their website. I don't know if I'll ever actually go on the show. But.
Oh. Did they threaten to put you on and they thought it wasn't going to work on their show?
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty good, though. But you catch all kinds of things there in that river, don't you?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, actually.
Yeah.
Probably would believe it.
Yeah. Well, what have you caught besides wallets?
I mean, I've caught fishing poles. Mm-hmm. I caught two fishing poles in the same spot that I caught the wallet in.
Yeah.
Last year, I caught a live fishing net, like just a live well net. Didn't have any fish in it, but I used it for the whole summer to keep my fish in after that.
That's so cool. That's really cool. You ever catch any fish?
I wish I'd catch more fish than I do, probably.
So this one caught national attention, though, so that's pretty good. That's a pretty good catch, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And actually, you must have thought you caught a sock, right, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know it was. I mean, at first, I didn't know it was a wallet at all. I almost didn't even check it. I thought, I don't know. I thought it was just garbage. So I'm glad I opened it up and seen what was inside of it.
What kind of a sock was it? It was just one of those socks you throw back in?
Yeah, you know, not the one you keep. It wasn't big enough.
Not an Argyle or anything good, right?
Yeah.
So to paint a picture for us here now. You're an artist. You're out there fishing. Is it early in the morning or what's going on?
Yeah, it was early in the morning. Yeah. I went out there at 4:30, so it was probably like around 5:30 in the morning when I caught the huge wallet.
Yeah. Was anything biting before the wallet or...?
You know, just little fish, bluegills. I catch a lot of bass and bluegills and just sand fish. I don't fish crazy.
You're catching, are you catching eat 'em or catching release?
I usually catch release. I've eaten them a couple times this year, but I'm kind of weary to eat the fish out of the river.
Yeah. Or weary or wary?
Weary, both.
Tired from fishing and when kind of scared of what's in them, I suppose. All right, so
yeah,
you're out there.
You never know.
So it's 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and you did the wallet actually bite? They don't bite. How did, just snagged it?
It felt like it bit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I fish the bottom, so I don't do a lot of bobber fishing. I fish on the bottom, especially on the river, prone to get snags all the time, rocks and trees, whatever the heck's down there. So
yeah.
I mean, I'm used to snagging stuff and breaking my line and having to fix it all up again. And every once in a while, you snag something and you'll be able to pull it in. It won't be too big or, you know, you'll just be able to get it. And that was one of them things that I was reeling in. It was heavy. Like, I didn't know what it was. I could tell it wasn't a fish.
Yeah.
It wasn't moving, but man, it was garbage.
Could have been a dead fish. You know, sometimes they sink, I suppose.
And, yeah, they don't bite very hard, though.
No. So yes, what were you using for a lure there?
Just a little hook. I just fished the bottom with a little hook and some sinkers, some really strong line. I just use really strong line because I always get so many snags that I get tired of breaking my line. Half the time, if I have strong line, I'll just bend my hook. I won't have to rehook everything back up. So, but that makes me pull in a lot of stuff. But
yeah, I'll say. Well, no wonder you're pulling in all this stuff. This is not even such a big story now, because you don't even put anything on the hook, right?
No, I mean, I use night crawlers. I just use night crawlers.
Oh, okay.
I just fish with night crawlers. Sometimes I'm minnows, but...
Okay. So, paint the picture for us. What's happening now? You're fishing, you're snagging, or you're doing usual snagging on the bottom, and take it from there.
And I'm reeling in it slow. I think it's, I thought it was a stick. Usually it's a tree. When it comes in slow like that, it's something like, usually just a big branch on the bottom. And then I thought it was a catfish baiter. That's what my first, when I seen it, people will like fill nylons or socks with, you know, smelly liver and throw them out in the river, and then they'll fish around them because the catfish will all, you know, go wherever the stink is at. So
they put livers in their socks and throw them out there?
Yeah, or nylon, more common nylon.
You're kidding.
Any kind of mesh netting.
Is this a lacrosse thing or something? I've never heard of this. Is this common?
I don't know. I was raised up north, so.
Oh.
A lot of fishing, a lot of heavy fishing up there, more than down here, all over the rivers.
Yeah. And a lot of pantyhose, probably. Old pantyhose.
A lot of pantyhose in the river.
Yeah. Okay.
With smelly liver in them,
yeah. Never mind. Okay, so, okay. And then, all right, go ahead. And you're pulling it in, and there's a what do you see on your line there?
It's black. It was just like a black hunk of garbage. I could tell it had been in the river forever. It was pretty gross looking. I have a pair of gloves that I bring fishing with me in case I catch any crazy fish that I don't want to stab me when I'm taking them off or have big teeth. So I put on the gloves, took it off my hook, and it was pretty gross. And I opened it, I just pulled it open. I mean, the end of it was opened up.
Yeah.
There was already a hook in it. There was a hook and a leader already connected to the sock, so I don't know if somebody else had already snagged it and broke their line.
Oh.
Or what, but I wasn't the first hook to have been in that sock.
Oh, no. That's interesting.
So, I know, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just opened it up in the wallet.
You mean someone snagged and released that wallet then?
Yeah.
It was like catch and release the wallet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
If somebody else caught it, maybe they just threw it back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that deal was.
Okay, so...
But then I just... That's a wallet. I seen it was a wallet. The first thing I'm thinking, is whose wallet is this? It didn't make any sense to me at all at first. Like, I couldn't figure out why there was a wallet in the sock.
Yeah.
In the river, especially at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. It's a mystery right off the bat.
Yeah. So then I just went through it right away, tried to find an ID, and I found his ID right away inside of it. The first thing I did is look for an expiration date because I'm thinking, you know, the guy's in the river, too. I don't know.
Well, you thought that the owner might be in there somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. It's pretty scary stuff. You know, you never know what you'll catch in the river. That's pretty crazy stuff.
Oh, man. And it could have been in a sock that he was wearing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, God. This gets worse and worse.
But it was expired. The ID was expired, 2005
mm-hmm.
was the expiration date on it. Something that's been in there forever too. You know, who knows if this guy's even still around here?
Yeah.
And I love photography, especially lately. So I immediately after I figured out who he was, I put everything back in the wallet and took a pretty awesome picture of it with the river in the background. And now it's all I want to do is get out of there and post it on Facebook right away. So I could try to find out who he was,
mm-hmm.
see if I could get his wallet back to him. And it was fast, through Facebook, it was instant. People knew who he was, where he was, and I was really surprised how easy it was.
And can we say his name, you think, or is that invasion of privacy?
No, I'm sure it's all over the news.
Yeah. So it's Jesse Gomez, who's also in lacrosse, saw this on...
Yeah.
Saw his, and it was stolen, apparently. His wallet had been stolen at a karaoke thing.
Yep, 3 years ago.
Yeah. What are the odds on that?
I know, that's crazy. I still don't get it completely. I don't get why they stole the wallet. The people that stole it, they got charged for stealing it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the one guy's actually in prison now.
Oh.
I don't understand how, why did he threw it in the river?
Yeah.
I mean, the chances of me catching it are so slim. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But
yeah. Isn't the etiquette really, you if you steal a wallet, then you throw what you don't need in a garbage can so they can at least find that?
Yeah, I mean, why? What did they do after they stole it? I mean, think to themselves, well, we'll just put it in a sock and throw it in the river?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it.
Uh-huh. I wonder if you actually have seen these guys, maybe at the river before, like throwing wallets or...
I know, that was one of my other thoughts when I caught the wallet. I'm like, well, I wonder if somebody didn't want this wallet to be found.
Because I read someone else then wrote in on this whole issue, said that they too had found a wallet in the same spot where you fish. Did you see that one?
Uh-uh, really?
Yeah.
No, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's totally crazy.
I better keep fishing there then.
Yeah, and Joshua, it was your wallet. Holy cow. Joshua Michael Woods. No, just kidding.
That would be not good.
Yeah, that was good. Let's go. And so anyhow, he was very happy he got his wallet back, and he's still trying to get his identity back because they stole all this detail.
Yeah, I know. It's been a pretty big ordeal for him. He's just surprised to get the wallet back.
Yeah, well, that's cool that worked out. Well, that's terrific. And has fame gone to your head now, Joshua? It's kind of a famous story now nationally.
Yeah, no, I can't. It's pretty crazy what goes viral these days.
Have you gone viral with this?
Well, I guess so.
Is there a little auto-tuned song now about this whole incident? Or?
I'm waiting for it now. Maybe on Good Morning America.
Yeah. Probably good for business, though, right, if they know that you have the tattoo shop there?
Yeah, it's definitely not bad. I mean, I'm always pretty busy anyway, so it's good. It's good, though. Definitely wear my Black Woods T-shirt on TV if I ever get on there again.
Yeah, and show the tats, too, as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you're a good Samaritan, that's a great thing, and you're a nice guy, and it certainly helped this guy in his battle against this thing that's been going on for years now, and that's great.
Yeah.
And I also...
No,
yeah.
He was getting his ID back alone is like pretty awesome for him because, I mean, anybody could have, I don't know why they didn't take the ID. If they took some other stuff, they could have used his ID and done a lot more damage than they did probably.
Yeah. Well,
he's glad to have that back.
That's cool. That's fantastic that you did it. And can I just say again that your tattoo art is really, really good.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're a very talented man. Is business pretty good there now? Probably since they all know about you now.
Yeah, everybody wants wallet tattoos.
That'd be a lot more convenient if you had your wallet tattooed on, than you'd always have it with you.
Yeah, no kidding. Actually, one of the guys I work with, John Stiverson, he told me last night, he said, you should get a wallet tattooed on you now.
Yeah.
I don't think so, though.
Pretty cool. Joshua Michael Woods, thank you very much, man. Nice speaking with you. From La Crosse. From La Crosse, Wisconsin. Great to talk to you. All right. A little human interest story there. Or a wallet interest story. I mean, the odds on that. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
He wants you to promote something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's what that was.
I'm not going to do it, though.
You're not?
No, he's Jeff's appearing tonight with the Dave Hazeltine Trio at the Jazz Estate in Milwaukee.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, Dave's a real good player and old friend of both ours.
Yeah. When you guys were working through before the show and stuff, I always like to get involved in because you're going back and forth about what to do.
You like to promote chaos.
In a certain thing there. Yeah. I don't know if it's a tempo thing or what, but you say it's not about walking through something, but what's padding?
Pedaling.
Pedaling, yeah.
How do you pedal? What is the pedaling thing?
B-flat.
So what part of that is pedaling?
Well, he's playing a note, and I'm doing a like changing chords over the top of it.
But you got to have the right note that goes with the chord, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's usually one note.
One note.
As opposed to the other option would be to walk through it. You're walking where you're playing quarter notes.
Oh.
So pedaling is saying that I'm, how about if I don't walk?
Like say we went like. Yeah. Yeah. This is pedaling.
Oh, I like walking so much better because you get more notes.
Yeah.
Well, did you have to work out whether you're going to pedal or walk?
Well, we decided to. Yeah. What did we decide to do? I forgot now. We're not doing that piece today anymore.
Good decision.
I think we're going to walk.
You were going to walk. Yeah. Okay.
So you influenced us.
Interesting. Well, I didn't know what I was talking about, so now I just wanted to be informed so I can get involved in these discussions.
You got to know what the cats are talking about.
It's so hard to, like the engineers, when they talk about stuff, it's all equipment and stuff, and they just numbers, you know, letters followed by numbers, and you're supposed to know what they're talking. You can't even get involved in it. And the same thing with you guys. I don't know. Pedaling, walking, what? Now I know.
Yeah. Well, you know what the cats are talking about.
I know what the cats. Any of this in this song here that we're about to hear?
Any pedaling? Anything about it? What's the song called?
No pedaling.
There's no pedaling in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't listen for that. What is it, though?
Huh?
What is it?
It's called Gnid. It's kind of weird because it was written, I think, in the 50s, and I think it's like ding spelled backwards, but now Gnid is like this acronym for STD.
For an STD?
Yeah, so it's kind of weird, but that's the name of it.
Whoa, that was prescient. It was prescient.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, Gnid. So, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, this is...
Gnid.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, boy. Don't ever start something and not finish it again, ever. Well, you know, we only have a minute there, though. I will never know if the hitchhiker, they picked up the hitchhiker.
Next week.
Huh? Next minute. The Hubers are here. You know Huber Beer? Is there still Huber Beer? I haven't seen a Huber Beer in a while. What are you doing way back there, Hubers? Is there Huber Beer?
Yeah, I think there still is.
There still is?
Yeah, they have Huber and Huber Bach.
Huber and Huber Bach. They don't care because they're not cutting on the money on that anyhow. Those are the other Hubers. That actually, I just want to say hello to the Hubers because I met them out in the hallway there. And they gave me a hard time, so I thought I'd return the favor. Who speaks for the Hubers here? Well, can I get you to stand up here and speak for the... Are you Don Huber then?
Yes, but I have, unfortunately, nothing to do with the Huber Brewery. I wish I did. I drink a lot of their beer, but... Yeah.
Did you have a chance to get in on Huber on the ground floor there? Or
no.
First floor, second floor, any floor?
Any floor, no. That happened a long time before I came along.
Yeah. Who was the original Huber?
We met Jacob Huber years and years ago. Joseph it was, yes, I'm sorry, back in the 60s. And
went
I think
by a lot of names at one point. Yeah.
But anyway, we went through the brewery then, and then we went through it here about 5-6 years ago, too. Yeah. So it was interesting, and I still think it's good beer. The Bach is excellent.
Yeah, it used to be really good. Now, but, you know, we have the Huber Law in Wisconsin, which is convicts can work and then go back to prison. And is that also related to Jacob or Joseph Huber?
Oh, boy. You got me there. Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I should have prepared.
It's your show, so obviously you have the answer for that.
No,
you don't.
I was wondering about the Huber Law. That's like the beer. What do you mean? They go out and has a beer and comes back to prison. That's cool.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's...
What field did you go into if you didn't go into the beer?
Oh, gosh sakes. I actually, my field was radio, television, advertising, and promotion, and never worked in it.
No, me neither.
Yeah, you're doing a very good job
especially
of it.
Actually, the promotion part of it is really not my long suit. Yeah, was that a commercial? And
well, yes, advertising, promotion, and you know, when you hear somebody on the radio, you know, like yourself, you have in your mind's eye, you conjure up some idea and thought about what you
horrible,
look like.
Horrible.
And actually, you don't look like you sound. You know, very different.
Nobody could.
No. Well, you're not a Groucho Marx, you know.
I'm not.
You don't have the cigars and the you know,
the duck.
There you go. The duck comes down, gives you $100 or something like that. You don't. Yeah, did you think about that, maybe? Yeah. By the way,
we need something like that. Yes,
I have one question. What's the significance of the pink flamingo? Is this off your front lawn or something?
There is no significance. Why does everything have to have significance, Don? Ask yourself that question.
Well, it just fills up the stage, I guess.
They give us stuff or something. Or they feel like, why would I have a wiener mobile on a wagon? You know, it's a lousy set, and there's Uncle Sam holding a little flag, and there's O2 guys. They got no business being there, and there's a rooster underneath the piano. Nothing of it really is significant.
It's working well. You know, it's working well with your program, whatever that is.
And you're retired now, I presume?
Yes, right, thank you.
And has it been wonderful?
Oh, yes. I like most people that retired, you just don't know how you ever found time to work.
I like that attitude.
There you go.
Nice to meet you, Don.
Thank you very much.
Other,
thank you.
Other Hubers, too, this is?
Rena Huber.
Nice to meet you, dear.
Yes, thank you.
I mean, are you Hubers?
Yeah. We're the neighbors.
Okay, what?
Jane Grimm.
Jim Grimm.
You're with the Hubers, so they got in under that pretense. Posing as Hubers under the Huber law. Okay. Oh, here's your question. What is the secret of your success, Don Huber? My success is a secret, I'll tell you the truth. What?
I think we just discussed it.
Yeah, I know. We went through that. I'm sorry. Mary Hummel is here from Fall Creek. And she's retired, too. Anyone here is actually working yet? Applaud if you're still working. Good. Now, applaud if you're retired. Okay. That sound is getting louder every week, I've noticed, as we do this. But where is Mary Hummel, though? Huh? You have to be in the front, Mary? You can't sit back here with the Hubers? We're sitting alphabetically. Hummel should be right next to Huber. Unbelievable. She didn't get the memo. Now I got to go all the way down here to get to the Hummels after leaving the Hubers. The H's are back there. Yeah. Go stand up here and say hello. Mary Hummel, ladies and gentlemen, from Fall Creek. The Fall Creek Hummels. How are you?
Good. Very good.
How's life in Fall Creek?
It's great. We live kind of between Fall Creek and Eau Claire. We live out in the country.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Have you always lived at that spot?
Since we've pretty much been married.
You've pretty much been married? What do you mean by that, Mary?
I mean pretty much since we've been married, we've lived there.
Okay, that makes more sense, I guess, as I think about it, unless you care to dissent.
38 years.
Okay, I didn't even ask him, and he gave the number.
He's a sensible one.
Well, and what's the date, though?
From living there?
No, the 38 years, the date.
About August 13th, I think.
About? Pretty much, huh? Pretty much and about. Welcome to Pretty Much and About, ladies and gentlemen. That's how they got together, pretty much about. Okay. You're retired as a teacher, huh? Middle?
Yes, middle school, yes.
Middle school, when we went to junior high school.
Yes.
You went to junior high school and you went to senior high school.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah.
Middle just leaves you nowhere.
Well, think of the poor kids then.
Yeah.
If we're feeling that way.
What did you teach?
I taught reading and language arts.
Oh, yeah. You still do any of that? Any reading or any language arts?
Oh, reading constantly. Yeah. Now with the Kindle and everything. Yeah.
Do you find, I mean, I taught English in high school for a while, and I found that it killed all my appreciation for reading or writing or anything involving the English language.
Really?
Yes. I still don't speak English very well.
Yes, you do.
Nothing kills it off like teaching it, I think. How long have you been doing this? A long time, yeah.
5 years I taught.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is your question here about me, though. Enough about you. You're talking about me. How long have I been doing this? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh.
Why would you write that? You'd know how long you'd been doing it.
I guess it's for you.
Yeah. We're in the same ballpark as far as careers, I guess. Are you looking forward to retirement? No, because I have no retirement skills. I said, I can't retire.
You don't have to have any skills to retire.
What, do you just sit around then and grow moss?
No, you go places, you travel, you
do my wife and I cannot travel together. We take our show on the road when we do that, and it's bad in a moving vehicle, terrible.
I don't have to tell you about that.
Yeah. And we don't, really, really, thank you.
We don't have a show, so.
Nice to meet you, the Hummels from Fall Creek, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to meet you both. The Hummels. One more time here, I think. Oh, Gary Hummel. Has the show ever been held in the Hall of Ideas? No, we don't qualify. That's the big hall here.
No, I thought this was
Hall of Ideas.
Isn't this the Hall of Ideas?
No, well, this is the Hall of the Very Idea.
Oh.
The Very Idea. Have you ever held a hummingbird? Do you have a hummingbird? It's so disappointing if you don't actually have Kathy Nolden, if you don't have a hummingbird with you. Do you have one?
I don't have one.
Then why would you bring it up? That is so disappointing. Have you held a hummingbird?
Yes.
All right. I suppose that's worth it. What is that sensation like? I would think it would make me very nervous to hold a hummingbird. How do you hold a hummingbird?
I found him in my garage, and he was in my bucket of seeds. I don't know how he got in there, so I picked him up, and I could tell he was still alive. So I didn't know what to do with him.
Was he humming at the time?
No.
Is that how you found him?
Very still. No, actually, I heard him rustling around in the seeds.
Was he eating the seeds? Because they eat nectar, don't they?
Yeah, I think he was getting ready to die.
Oh, no.
So I took him out, and I put him in a pot of petunias.
Oh, much nicer. That's what you had, petunias, right?
I felt so bad for him.
They don't really care for petunias, I don't think, but that's nice.
I went back and checked him in about an hour, and he was still there, but he had moved. And then I went back in about another half hour, and he was gone. And so I knew he flew away.
You recovered.
Yes. I saved him.
You saved a hummingbird. Kathy Nolden from Baraboo. Let's give her something for that.
Wine, do you think?
What?
Wine?
Give her wine.
Okay. Well, you can welcome the gentle you can welcome the gentle winds of fall with wines from the Wollersheim Winery, makers of the wine of the year at the San Diego International Wine Competition.
You deserve it for that.
Thank you.
Saved a hummingbird.
Thank you.
I love those little hummingbirds, but they make me nervous. That frequency they're on, you know, it's kind of... We have a little more time?
We have a little more time,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. How much advance notice should a mother expect when her son gets married? Well, you should hear about it afterwards, anyhow, I think. Rosie Thornton from Armstrong, Missouri. Oh, you're weighing back again now. Oh, boy. Are you the ones who got married?
Yeah.
What? No, okay, I just thought, okay, because you were waving, too, I thought, hey, that's him, and he still hasn't told her.
A postcard from Vegas would be nice.
Postcard from Vegas is a good idea.
A tweet.
Okay, this is a long way around here, and I'm sure this is a great story, though, and well worth it. Rosie Thornton from Armstrong, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. So what's the story here?
Well, my son called Wednesday and said, oh, do you have news? He said, well, kind of. Right. Steph and I got married yesterday. Yeah. So that's the story.
And did it occur to him that you might be interested in knowing?
Well, I think maybe it did, because he said he didn't know if, you know, we'd be mad that we didn't get invited or just happy that they got married. So. Yeah.
And you had mixed feelings about it, probably.
Well, it would have been nice to be there, but we were happy they got
did
married.
Did he have a whole to-do and everything? Maybe just...
No, it's just the two of them, which was good, you know, that nobody got invited. You know, right.
Yeah. Was it did they have a priest or something, or a minister or something?
They had someone at their bed and breakfast where they got married that did it.
I think that's legal to get married at a bed and breakfast, but just with the person who runs it?
I guess so. They kind of do that as a sideline, maybe.
In Missouri, maybe. Was it in Missouri?
No, they actually got married in the Smokies. They're from North Carolina. They live in North Carolina.
Well, I think in North Carolina that's legal to be married.
Well, I think maybe it must be.
The bed and breakfast guy can marry you. If the breakfast is good, why not? You
that's
know,
right. And then they had a five-course meal the day before, so that was good.
That's sometimes the side effects of a five-course meal.
Well,
that's nice, I guess. I don't know. Did you think that they were serious?
Oh, yeah, they've been together forever, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever?
Well, I think 11 years.
Okay, it was time. They were just waiting for the right bed and breakfast.
I guess. That was a good one.
And and it's okay with you now? You're okay
yeah,
with it now?
Yeah, I'm good with it, yeah.
And have you seen everybody and...
No.
Oh, no.
Well, no, we saw them in August, so I guess that was close enough.
Oh, yeah, but, sure.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, it's okay. And their names?
Party and Christmas. Andrew Thornton and Steph Kruger.
Yeah, well, wonderful. Congratulations to them and to you, especially to you. Thank you, dear. I think it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. It's probably just one of those things that finally say, you know, great breakfast. Let's do it. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because that's what this is. It's a quiz show, and that's how we describe ourselves. So we'd be lying otherwise. We didn't do it. Now let's see once again. I know there's everybody wants to do it. I can't have you all. Oh, come on. Put some of those hands down, and let's see others go up. Okay. That's everybody there, huh? Just the one guy over there in the blue shirt is way over here. Or this guy here, too. Okay. All right. And she would like to, too. I don't know. Do you want to decide among yourselves who has the best, who would do the best on the quiz? Should be a woman. Should be a woman. Okay, you're right. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And you are?
Carol O'Brien.
Carol O'Brien from the O'Briens?
Yep.
Wauwatosa O'Briens. Nice to have you here, Carol.
Thank you.
Carol, you want to play this quiz, huh?
I do.
Okay. And you think you'd be good at it, right? You feel like you'd really be good at it?
No, probably not.
Okay, doesn't matter. Give me one good reason you should do it.
Because our four kids gave us this for a present.
Isn't that nice? And they didn't come with you. That's so sweet. All right, come on up here. Carol O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen, from Wauwatosa. All right. The Wow in Wauwatosa. Carol O'Brien, ladies and gentlemen. Is it Carol with a K or a C?
C. Okay. It's the only way to spell it.
I think so. Well, they do all kinds of variations now. That's today, true. You'd be Kenesha O'Brien. You know, totally different. Times have changed.
That's true.
Wauwatosa, we lived right on the edge of Wauwatosa.
I know that. That's true.
In Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
If you went like three blocks more upscale to the, is that the west? To the west, then you're in the city of homes, Wauwatosa, but we didn't. We were in the city of hovels, Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And are you from Wauwatosa originally, or that area? Or?
Originally from Greendale, which is just
Greendale.
Another suburb of
yeah.
Milwaukee. Yeah.
So you've moved all around Milwaukee. You've never actually been to it.
That's true. I only lived here when I went to school in Madison.
Yeah. So you're slowly circling Milwaukee.
That's right.
You'll end up in South Milwaukee, maybe?
Maybe eventually.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And what are you doing these days, Carol?
Well, as of yesterday, I'm unemployed.
Yeah? Is that good or bad?
That's not so good.
No?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. How'd that...
My department got restructured, and
no.
I was a low man on the totem pole, so
oh, no.
I'm out.
What's your department?
Reference checking.
Reference checking
mm-hmm.
for...
For a employer association, and that's one of the services we offered our members.
Yeah. Well, they should need that.
They still do need it, but they don't need me.
Oh. Oh, I feel really bad.
Oh,
this ruins my whole day to hear that you're in that situation.
Well, I actually am on call, so I might be called back if things pick up.
Oh, I hope so. You have good references, obviously. If you, if you check your own references, you'd be...
I can make them up anyway.
Yeah. Okay, that's the upside. Well, I hope you get that back and stuff. But is it your husband here? Yes,
right there.
Yeah, he's working, no, right, isn't he?
He is, fortunately,
yeah. That's good. How's his references? Pretty good?
I haven't checked his references.
You should have checked right in the beginning. All right, Carol, you know this works. Some of their plays along with you in the quiz. Okay, and we have various ways of doing this, but what's the most common way?
The most effective way to play the quiz from home is to pick up a phone and dial 1-800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Is that the way you would do it, just to call in then?
Yeah, probably. I probably would.
You could
break
in here and just storm the stage or something.
But. I don't think we have enough mics for that.
Yeah. Okay, here's the question. How tall would your kitchen table have to be for your toast to fall butter side up? This was studied. Thank God for the university. This is Manchester Metropolitan University in England, studied this, and determined how tall Your kitchen table would have to be for your toast to fall. As we know, if you drop a piece of toast off your table, butter side down. So we want to know, most tables are like 2.5 feet tall, something like that. So we want to know how tall a table would you have to have so it landed. I know, I'm trying to explain it. Okay, I guess I made myself clear. Terrence Clark is on the phone from Trumbull, Connecticut. Hey, Terrence.
Feldman.
Hey, Terrence Clark.
Hello, Wisconsin.
Hello, Trumbull. How you doing,
good
man?
Good to be here. Beautiful day here in Trumbull, Connecticut.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, nice, huh? What temperature-wise, how you doing that there?
Yeah, we got sunny skies, highs in the lower 80s.
Yeah. Are you a weatherman? You sound like you could do it, actually.
All right, I'll send in my application.
Yeah, just have to talk about high pressure and low pressure. And no one ever explains what pressure is all about. You know, that's what bothers me when there's a high and a low. Like, who knows what that means, you know?
Nobody really actually cares. It's just something to say.
I went on a weatherman show one time. We were on the road, and they let me do the weather, you know, in front of a blue screen. It's so weird because you're pointing at nothing and saying, here is the, there's nothing there. It's just like a blue, it's like a blue wall.
And it's funny, if you wear something the same color as the blue or green screen, it goes, you look invisible.
Yeah, you disappear, which is pretty much what happened in my weather career.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Terrence. How tall would your kitchen table have to be for your toast to fall butter side up?
I'm going to have to say 35 and a half inches.
35 and a half inches. So you're saying 3 feet?
About that. In the round?
That's pretty short. You're not gonna get it. Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
Any chance for a second chance?
No, I'm sorry, Terrence.
I got this far.
I know, man.
Next time.
I feel bad about it.
Funny papers. Thanks a lot.
All right. Call back, though, will you? Next time you think of something. Anything at all, really. It doesn't have to be about this. Lisa is in Southampton, New York. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We got a little cooler weather here now. You too?
Us too. It was pretty cold this morning.
Cold, yeah? Like cold. What's cold in Southampton?
I don't know. It was probably... Yeah, you guys are going to laugh at me. Probably about 50 this morning.
Yeah, similar. Yeah, overnight. Yeah. What was that?
that's my baby.
Oh, you have a baby there.
I have my daughter. She's 8 months old.
Oh, put her on.
You already did.
And what's her name?
Lily.
Hi, Lily.
Hi.
Hi, Lily.
She just got her first tooth. She's very vocal.
Yeah. Is that tooth bothering you a little bit? No? Not so much?
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
Very nice tooth, Lily. That's okay. We'll talk later. Thank you.
Oh, you made her smile. She's smiling.
Thank you, Lily. Yes, you're pretty. No, you are. Really. You're very pretty. Yes, and you got a good sense of humor. That's what I like about you best. Okay. Lisa.
Yes?
How tall would your kitchen table have to be for your toast to fall butter side up?
Well, it's not 3 feet, and that was going to be my guess. Yeah.
Taller than that.
43 inches.
Why do people give me inches? I'm looking for 43 inches is what...
Are you looking for feet? Maybe 4 feet?
Yeah, but I'm looking for more than 4 feet.
Oh, 5 feet?
No, I'm looking for more than 5 feet. I'm looking for, you know, a sizable number of feet. Surprisingly high, actually. You have to have pretty... No one has a table this high. Let's put it that way.
10 feet.
Not that high. Who's going to have a 10-foot table?
So should I go in the middle? Maybe like 8 feet?
8 feet! How did you do that? Yes! Oh, Lily! Your mother is so smart, and I bet you are too. That's so sweet. Okay, Lisa, is Lily okay if we do this?
I think she is. She seems pretty right now.
Yeah. Well, cool. Are you holding her?
I am. I'm holding her right now.
Okay. Very good. Yes, your mom's on the air, Lily.
I know she's going to be so excited when she gets older and realizes
Yes, you know, when she hears this tape for the 5,000th time.
I know.
I'm enough already with the show. All right, so Lisa, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Lisa.
She's your partner here, as well as Lily, so we have like three people here working on this together. And you just we cooperate here is what we do. It's unusual in a quiz show, I think. Okay, so then what then? What and then how do they and so forth?
They work together, and first one of them has to choose from the categories that we have available.
Well, what are those, though?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Lily, we'll let you pick the first one.
She's going to go with odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. That sounds like a good choice. Which female celebrity would you least like to relax with? This is asked by Princess Cruises, so I suppose they mean on deck on a cruise. Which female celeb would you least like to relax with? Is it Taylor Swift, Scarlett Johansson, or Heidi Klum?
Klum.
Klum.
That was my other guess. Heidi Klum. Heidi Klum. Taylor
she
Swift.
Can yodel.
What?
She can yodel. So
oh,
I'm going to
go
with Heidi Klum.
She can?
She can.
Well, there you go. That could be a factor then if she's going to do that, I think. Talk it over, ladies.
What do you think,
what
Lisa?
What do you think, Carol?
I'm not sure I'd want to relax with a supermodel. That would not be all too relaxing.
So you'd say Heidi Klum would be the one you'd least, this we're looking for the least?
The least, yeah.
Yeah, the worst one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I peek at your card?
Yeah, sure.
What do you think, Lisa?
I'm saying Heidi Klum.
Oh, you want to?
I think that's a good guess.
Heidi Klum. Yes, Heidi Klum is exactly right. Although Taylor Swift, I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be around her, especially if you're dating or something, because you know she's going to write a song about you.
Yes, she might steal your boyfriend. That's, yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't want that.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science?
Things Carol. You should have learned in school had you been paying attention.
Okay, you know the whole thing, that's good. Do orangutans plan trips or pretty much wing it? Are they trip planners? Orangutans, are they trip planners or are they pretty much just wing it, you know, spur of the moment? Pick up and go.
Hmm. Do you think that they have like planned migrations, Lisa?
Ah. Maybe. Maybe they're organized orangutans.
Lily, you want to weigh in on this?
I have no idea. I'm going to let you take this one, Lisa, because I guess wrong.
Planners or they wing it? Lisa?
Let's say they're planners.
You do think they're planners?
I think they might be.
You think they are planners?
I don't know.
Lisa, we need an answer here. Someone's got to step up to this one.
Let's say they plan it. What do you think?
They plan it.
Yes, they're planners. They will call in a direction that they are going because they got their whole route planned out. They want people to know where they're going and when they're going to be here and when they're going to be there and yada, yada.
That's two right and zero wrong.
Oh, I can't reach that. It's too far down. Okay. Let me just grab another one here. Okay. That's two right there. There we go. That now it's official.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which leaves what?
Current events, people, places, or science? Current
Lisa?
Events, people, places, or science.
Lisa, what would you like?
Current events, is that one of them?
That's one of them.
Let's do current events.
Okay. Art auction time now. At auction, artist Damien Hirst's what sold for $15 million? At Sotheby's, I think it was. Damien Hirst, well known. I think he's British, isn't he?
Okay, I've never heard of him, Lisa, so this one...
He does not usual art. They're actually more like unusual objects of some sort or another.
I have no idea.
And he got $15 million for this one. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay, want to do a different category then? Because I have nothing invested in this.
Pick a different category,
a different
Lisa.
Category?
Yeah, sure.
Oh.
What? Got a baby
yeah, see,
there.
That category makes Lily sad.
What?
That category makes Lily sad.
It makes Lily sad.
Oh, yeah.
Makes
no.
Lily sad.
What else? Yeah. What else do we have?
We
there?
Have people, places,
bad category.
Or people, or places, or science.
Yeah. Well?
Carol, I struck out.
Oh,
so.
People.
People, okay. People, Lily. Yes. All right, percentage of gym time spent in non-gym activities. This is when you're in your gym, but you're actually not doing gym activities. Is it 39%, 49%, or 79% of gym time spent in non-gym activities?
And what are the percentages again?
39, 49, 79.
What do you think, Lisa? I'd probably go in the middle, but I don't know.
I was going to say middle, 49.
Okay. 49?
Sure.
49 it is. 49%.
Yes.
You're standing around talking about things.
That's 3 right and 0 wrong.
Well, wait a minute. That means they won.
That doesn't fact mean that they have won.
Oh, holy cow. Well, you're in the same situation here. I don't want to disturb Lily because she's... And then, so what should they do then?
Same gig as last time. They can risk it all.
Same gig as last time? What is that?
In
stage
the,
talk?
In the hopes.
That's what the cats say.
Winning the mother load.
Do you want to go on? And it's all or nothing, basically. This one, you got to get it right.
I'm in for it, Lisa. What about you?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Come on. Come on. This is a tape that Lily will hear eventually. We want it to have a happy ending. And so what's left then?
Only 2 categories left, places or science.
And current events they could do again, I suppose.
Except it makes Lily sad.
So what's it going to be?
Places?
Okay. According to the World Happiness Report, the U.S. is not quite as happy as Mexico, but slightly happier than one of the following. So we're right between Mexico and what follows us. Is that Somalia, Ireland, or Luxembourg?
Oh, geez.
Slightly less.
So this would mean they're happier than us, right?
No, this means they're slightly less happy than we are.
Oh.
We're slightly less happy than Mexico right now. But there's so right between Mexico and this place. Is it Somalia, Ireland, Luxembourg?
I think it's Ireland.
Ireland.
I would say Ireland.
Ireland is right. A happy ending. Woo-hoo! And a tape that will be treasured by Lily. What have they won?
Carol, you and a guest will head to Madison's historic Majestic Theater this Thursday night, September 19th, for a concert by the Youngblood Brass Band with special guests Sarbles and Chance. And then get the grill fired up with a bag of Kickapoo John's Lump Charcoal from Kickapoo John himself. Make everything taste better with a shaker of Bloody Mary seasoning by Johnny Velvet of Mary's House of Vodka from Something Special from Wisconsin.
Whoa.
Don a t-shirt from Tom's Burned Down Cafe on Madeline Island and enjoy a rich panoply of red-blooded American music on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with a liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Lisa, find out what surprising percentage of Italian men still live with their mothers in What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia,
of
quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Then add zest and flavor to your next meal with a jar of Sanchez Sweet Salsa. First you taste the sweet, then you feel the heat from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin. Immerse yourself in college football with the DVD Bragging Rights, the Carolina-Clemson Rivalry, including a collector's book and trading cards of a century's worth of legends from the University of South Carolina. And relive the experience of playing the quiz with What Do You Know? The Party Game, including the infamous Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at NotMuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
It's a bobblehead. Time.
Thank you.
Attention,
well
Ole
done.
Miss Feldman fans. What do you know? We'll
hang on, Lisa. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Ford Center in Oxford, Mississippi.
Thanks, guys.
Come and be part of the celebration. Guests include top chef John Currents, best-selling author Ace Atkins, and musician Shannon McNally. Tickets available by calling the box office at 662-915-7411 or online at notmuch.com.
See you all. Thanks for coming. Here's everybody we got to thank here, but I want to thank you and thanks for listening.
Michael Feldman's What He Knows, produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Roth.
PRI, Public Radio International.